Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Before we get into this episode, I just wanted to hop on here and say Happy New Year, laughers. Thank you for your support, sharing our podcast, and tuning in for our first year. Our next guest has some great tips on shifting your mindset to live your best life in 2022 and beyond. We had a few echoes on the Zoom call interview, yet the wisdom nuggets are so powerful on this one, we had to share the original recording with you. May your new year be richly blessed beyond measure with new discoveries about yourself that help heal and transform you. May your life be blessed with deepened relationships with those you cherish the most, and may you optimize the opportunities that come your way to live your best life. And always remember to laugh and make it a great one. Cheers. Hello, laughers. With a new year ahead of us, I'm pumped to introduce you to Letitia Bates, a mindset and empowerment coach, master EFT tapping practitioner, and award-winning speaker. She is a number one Amazon best-selling author of I Can, 12 Keys to Achieve Personal Success in the Smartest Way. Letitia helps women entrepreneurs increase their impact, income, and influence. Welcome, Letitia. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited about this because with the new year around the corner, people are setting their new year's goals. They're wanting it to be bigger and better than it was the last year in a good way. And I couldn't think of a better guest to bring on than you because I've worked with you personally and I've had success in that relationship that's had an impact on my life. And so I just want to share you with people.
Well, thank you. It is good to be here. It is a good time for a reset. So, good timing.
Yes. So actually, I think the laughers would probably love to hear your story. And we'll start there. What inspired you to become a mindset and empowerment coach?
Yeah, several years back, I was working in a corporate job and I was good at what I did and really enjoyed it. But I kept crying myself to sleep at night, which seems weird, but it was happening. And what was occurring for me is some unhealed trauma. Now, I never would have used that language to describe it because these were old childhood wounds that had been unresolved. And I got on this journey of healing and I said, I'm not going to take this into the next chapter of my life. I knew that these were things that were happening to me mentally, so that needed some deep work. And I got on that journey and I found some really, really powerful tools on the way. And I said, I can't keep doing what I'm doing in my corporate space if there are people out there who need what I have and what I've learned. And so I made the decision to resign. And now I'm working with women entrepreneurs who are go-getters, they're success-oriented, but the stuff keeps cropping up. And they don't understand why. And so what I do is a two-pronged approach. I focus on not just helping people in their business, but I focus on helping the business owner. So these are mostly solo entrepreneurs. And we run into some stuff from the business perspective. There's the systems and there's all of that. But it's the mindset. It's the challenges that we face. And it's what our past tells us about ourselves. That's the stuff that I help people change, shift, and really transform so that they can share their gifts, talents, and abilities with everybody that they've come here to serve.
That's so valuable. I'm learning a lot myself being on a healing journey. And there's some resources recently, you know, where I was reading or listening to a podcast, actually, and they were talking about how our brain records everything from in utero, you know, and throughout our life. And so these patterns get, you know, ingrained like a record. They get ingrained on our brain. And until, you know, so those can be negative belief systems that can be holding us back. But the good news is our brain has wonderful neuroplasticity. So we don't have to keep those negative beliefs or limiting beliefs. We can replace them with positive belief systems and really redirect our lives. I just think that's really amazing, the work that you're doing, because I am a complex trauma survivor, but I think all of us, we just have a lot, they call them ACE, adverse childhood experiences. Yeah. And it probably be hard pressed to find in, you know, almost anyone without them. So I think this is really, no one's perfect, not even one. Yeah. I'm a Christian except for Jesus himself. So, you know, we can all be better. We can all do better. And, and I'm curious too, you have a STAR certification that stands for Strategies for Trauma Awareness and Resilience. What is that all about? And how do you use that then to help your clients?
Yeah, so it's training that I went through because I'm in the coaching space, but what I understand that was stopping me, this was the missing piece when I was going through just, you know, I've gone through years of counseling and that kind of thing, but I really just didn't understand what trauma was. I didn't understand how it affected me. I didn't understand why I couldn't just get over it. I didn't understand why time hadn't healed the wounds. And so I just wanted to get a deeper understanding about what trauma was. And what I really gleaned from the STAR program were the levels of trauma. So trauma is happening to us at the individual level. We're experiencing whatever we've experienced, but it's also happening at our family level because whatever came from our parents, you know, they brought to our experience. But then it's also happened at the communal level, communities that have been hit by traumatic events. Then it's also happening at the national level. And last year, we really got to see what happens when trauma hits us on a global level, right? And these are the pieces that post-pandemic, some people are still in it. I have clients that are in Canada. They're still on lockdown. So there's still a lot of this that's going on. So we're not quite past it. And it's had an effect on us. We've been locked in houses. Rules have been taken away. Can't go here. We can't do that. It's had such an impact. So what the STAR experience did for me is help me understand how these different levels of trauma pile up on each other and how that can really affect you and how really all of those pieces are worth examining as you're trying to move forward with something that you feel like you should just be able to get over. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for that because I have people from different from all over the world that I work with. And so when I'm talking from my experience in America, it may be completely different from a cultural experience that they've had in a part of the world that they live in. So just knowing that trauma is happening at different levels and people are experiencing it and different communities deal with it differently. Some people actually take the time to work through it. There are certain tribal communities where they have processes. We kind of don't in America. It's just like, well, just, you know, keep on going. So we don't have the best way of having a space to heal that. So that's how the STAR work has helped.
That's really great. And so, is there a specific intervention with the STAR strategy? You know, is it like you're talking to the client as a visual process or both? What is it, more education to them? How do you use it?
Yeah, so it's more education of just understanding that people are going to approach it differently.
I got you.
For me, when I kept hearing, I had a friend of mine, I would say these things to her and, you know, she was older and, you know, and she would just say, Leticia, that's trauma. And I'm like, no, trauma is when your house burns down. And she would say, no, what you're experiencing is trauma. I was totally resistant to it because I didn't think it applied. Mm-hmm. And so this is the thing that when you're dealing with it at these different levels, communal, global, different communities have a different way of even approaching it. So sometimes just helping somebody to understand this is a traumatic experience and that requires a different level of care, all right, than just some event that you think should be insignificant. And so having that understanding that some people are just not even wanting to identify that, which makes sense if you're not used to seeing that. It's just that understanding and helping to educate people. And so I try to keep everything really simple. And I talk about what trauma really does. And it interrupts our rest response and activates our body's stress response. And that stress response is really a survival response. It's like that fight. Flee or fear.
Freeze.
Freeze, yes. Right. So when you're in one of those states and your stress response is activated, and I'm going to bring this down to a real simple example. Let's say you are an entrepreneur and you know you need to reach out and make a phone call, and that phone call could totally change your life. But you're totally fear of rejection because maybe you've had some rejection that dates all the way back. Consciously, you're not going to think that. You're just going to think, I don't want to pick the phone up, and you'll procrastinate. What I'm going to do in the work that I'm going to do with you, right, when I work with my clients, is we talk about what's really going on. And I'm not afraid of what comes up because I've heard really everything. But it's helping that person understand you're not just procrastinating. You're not just, you know, blowing things off. Something is stopping you. There's a block there. And usually it has some connection to some trauma experience. Again, it doesn't have to be the house burned down. It could be something that is seemingly less significant, if you will, but it's impacting you with the same block that's stopping you from moving forward.
Yes, I agree with that. Preach. There's a great book out there called The Body Keeps Score that walks through what you just explained. And I read that, and that was very helpful to me. And because what happens, you know, with the trauma in a happy experience, we remember it like a story. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But when we have trauma and there's too many emotions to process, the ones we can't process or aren't able to because we ran or we fought or we froze, they go in deep into our amygdala and our subconscious. And so until they're resolved, then it manifests itself: body aches, pains, digestive issues, nightmares, crying yourself to sleep, you know, not understanding why you're responding to life and have these different patterns the way that you do. I just validate everything that you just shared. That's so true. Yeah.
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 And so it's powerful stuff to know that there are ways to deal with it, you know, and, you know, without necessarily 30 years of therapy. There are some things that you can do to move forward with those things and to transform it. And that's why I'm so excited about the tools that I've learned and that I share with my clients, because I'm placing this in a business context, but it's the same thing. You're still dealing with somebody's physiology and the subconscious piece of how they're holding that. And, you know, I just see women just so frustrated with themselves. And I'm like, no, honey, you got to love yourself because you've been up against some things. Right. So let's work on that. And then let's move you forward. Right. It's just a different way even to be with yourself. There's a different level of compassion when you understand that this is your physiology trying to protect you from reliving something horrific that's happened in the past.
Yep. Exactly. And that's I wanted to finish my thought on those memories. So yeah, with the trauma memories, it's instead of a beginning, middle, and end, it's a fragmented memory and it's disorganized. Yeah. And that causes the additional confusion. So they need the help of someone who can help them navigate to the places where they are blocked. And you do another thing, you do another practice that helps with that. You are an EFT tapping practitioner. So can you tell us what EFT stands for and how you use that to help people you work with?
Yeah. So EFT is an acronym for Emotional Freedom Techniques. And it is a scientifically proven techniques that help activate your body's rest response. So when we think about this idea of something putting you in the stress response, that freeze, fight, or flight, then you're going to have narrowed thinking. You're not going to be your most resourceful because that's essentially a survival mode. Mm-hmm. And so what tapping does is we're tapping on acupuncture points, right? So thank God there are no needles because I would not be involved.
And I wouldn't go there.
Okay.
So we are on the same page.
You're on the same page, yes. So what you're doing is you're just taking your fingers and you're tapping on these acupuncture points, and most of them are on your face. And what it is, it's connected to your body's meridian system. So it interrupts that stress response when you're using the tapping points. And there's several people do it different ways. I've been trained in a certain way of doing it. What I've learned is that really you can't get it wrong, right? There are just ways that if you're mastered in it, that you know how to do it more efficiently to get the best results the quickest for your client, which is why I focus up there. But the tapping is a really powerful, powerful transformation tool because it can bring down that stress response and put your body in the rest response. So even if you think about something simple, like imagine that you're leaving out of the house and you can't find your keys, right? Like you're like flipping out because you've got somewhere to go. You're like, oh my God, right? You're kind of running around the house. You're getting frustrated. You're not at your most resourceful. And so sometimes people are like, well, just count to 10, right? And you can take that breath and count to 10. And what's happening is you're attempting to bring your body's stress level down. When that happens, I know we've all had some semblance of this. You look over there and the keys are like right there, right? They're like right there. And you're like, what in the ham sandwich? Well, when you're in your stress response, you are not thinking. You're not your most resourceful. Your narrow thinking is on. You're frustrated. You're angry. So you can imagine that's happening with the keys. What happens when you're trying to step into your next level of business, when you're trying to up-level yourself? All the fears and frustrations and irritations or sadness or fear of rejection, all that stuff rises, right? And just like you can't see the opportunity where your keys are, you can't focus on the opportunity that's before you because you're stressed out. So what tapping can do is help take that stress response down so that you are your most resourceful self. You're more in your restful state and you can focus more on your vision and the goal and the people you're going to help, which you really just don't have access to when you're really locked into a stress response. So the tapping is a big, really big piece of shifting that.
One of the signs or symptoms of experience with trauma is hypervigilance. So that overreactivity that shows up. And so that can tend to wig out a little easier, quicker.
Yeah.
Like I do at red lights, if anybody sees a black Hyundai Sonata.
I got it.
But anyway, you have a book. It's called I Can, 12 Keys to Achieve Personal Success in the Smartest Way. And in it, you outline 12 powerful keys to systematically unlock our potential. What are the 12 keys? Can you list them out for us?
Yeah. So I Can is actually an acronym. So the I Can, the I and I Can is to identify. It's really how you are identifying yourself. Whether that's from a past lens, like somebody might feel like they're still a victim. Somebody might feel like they're a divorcee. Somebody might feel, you know, like they're just pretty much stuck. Right. So the way you're identifying yourself is a huge piece of it. So we get into that as the first key. The second is caring. And what we are not taught to do is to care about our emotions. But our emotions are driving the bus. So I always think about, you know, when the shoes are on sale, I'm like, I don't need a new pair of shoes, but my emotions are telling me I do. So I get them. But on the other side of that, when we have negative emotions, sadness, the feelings of abandonment, those things, we're not taught how to care for those. So care is the second key. And once you've identified them, the emotions, the A in I Can is about attending to them. And I do talk about tapping in the book because, yeah, I know this. I've identified myself a certain way. These are the emotions that are making me feel less than my best self. Now, what do I do? And the attend is how you actually get a change by using the tapping tool. And the last is to notice. So I can't tell you how many people I work with that have come, they work with me and they've just gotten so far. They've had so much progress, but they're still frustrated because they feel like they have too far to go. So I focus people in on noticing what has actually changed. Because what happens when you make notice of that, you start seeing more of that. You feel more rewarded. It gives you more courage and steam to go forward. So that's the I Can. And then the other part is really breaking it down into goals. So now you have made some shifts and you're ready to take on this next thing, whatever your thing is in your life. And it's an extension of SMART goals. But I talk about SMART goals in a different way. And so the S is for significant. The M is for measurable. The A is for actionable. The R is for rewarding, kind of like the notice, where I really focus on celebrating progress, not just success. So all along the way, you're feeling good about your day-to-day life, not just when you hit that big pinnacle. The next is trackable. And then the last three are more of what you can do to actually move it forward, like envisioned. That's what the E is for. What are you envisioning? Like, what are you actually seeing that's different for you, for your family, for the people around you? Next is spoken. I'm a huge proponent of affirmation. So we talk about the power of speaking what you want into your life. And the last is timely, because there's an element of divine timing is the way I see it, where you can't control everything. So knowing that there is a time for everything, if you keep doing the things that you need to do, get the support if you need it, being okay with everything not unfolding immediately, right? Because some things are a process. So those are the 12 keys. And so each chapter goes into a little bit, it goes into depth about those elements we just talked about.
Yeah, I think it's really neat that you call them keys, but is there a specific meaning behind why you chose to call them keys?
Yeah, so I say, you know, keys unlock doors, but you must open them. Because I feel like a lot of us have information, like we learn stuff, we'll read the books or whatever, whatever, but we still don't feel like we can do it or we're not taking the action on it. So the key is about really like opening up another door, like taking that key, having that open something different for you so you can step in and really do this differently than just amassing knowledge. So I think particularly in this age that we're in, we're inundated with information. So from an intellectual standpoint, we think we know stuff. But if we're not doing what we know, then something else is going on. And those are usually, that's the right side of your brain. That's the emotional side of the brain. It's not the logical side of the brain. So the acquisition of information is one thing, but being able to take action on that, knowing that you can actually do something, I think that is, you know, that is key, right? Pardon my pun, but that's key to actually moving yourself forward, to driving yourself forward.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I really do. That's really neat. You listed all 12 of the keys out. I'm wondering if you can take one or two of them just a step further and expand on that.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the S that's on the other side of that, because I did a little talk about the I can. So the S is significant. And why this is important when you're making goals, if those goals don't really move you, like you're not emotionally involved with those goals, you don't really see a big opportunity for you to make a big change in your life and usually the lives of others, right? You will stop yourself. And this is how people have ideas, they have dreams, they talk about the same things year after year after year, and they're not doing anything. And the reality is that when that dream gets big enough, you start finding some stuff out. And that's definitely what happened for me. I'm in this job, I'm doing it, I like it. But now I'm like, I have a vision for something bigger. Like I could help people really transform their lives. So I had to cast a big vision for myself and set some big goals. And one of those was going to be, I'm going to resign from my safe job when I'm making good money and go do something I've never done before. Without the significance of the mission that I'd set for myself, I probably would have just stayed small and just been working on it part-time. So I think whatever you're going to do, sit down and write a significant goal for yourself. And I talk in the book about how to actually cast like that bigger vision. So I think that's really powerful when you're moving forward. And then I'm just such a fan of affirmations. I think what you speak is powerful. I think we say things all the time. A lot of the internal dialogue that we have is really damaging. And so learning how to speak power, speak positivity into our lives and to the lives of those around us are really, really important tools. And again, I talk about that in depth in the book. And sometimes when you have a harm history, you know, if you've had a traumatic background, it plays on what you believe about yourself. And so you'll say, make little digs inside, you know, maybe you're saying you're stupid, or maybe you're saying, oh my God, I'm a loser. And these seem like innocuous, but they're not. They're actually damaging, and they're stopping you from really going out and being your best self, because internally you're not speaking life to yourself. So, you know, the spoken part is a big piece of what it takes to actualize these goals.
What would you say are some of the more prevalent concerns or issues you see when you're working with clients? Is there like a top, you know, two or three issues that keep creeping up more more commonly?
Yeah, I think people are frustrated. I think the people that I work with, really smart people, they want something and they feel frustrated when they can't get to what they're seeing. I mean, all of us feel it at some level. But again, if there's something in the background that hasn't been dealt with, it's just that frustration of why can't I do it? Or, you know, what's wrong? And how come I keep doing this over and over and over again? Really just not realizing that once that is healed, then it's easier, so much easier for them to move into the next level. And then I would say the second thing is procrastination. I talk about procrastination a lot and helping people beat procrastination, because procrastination is not ever about not doing something. There's always something there. And again, everything doesn't have to be trauma, but a lot of times it's around fear. Now, if you're procrastinating because you don't want to go to the DMV, because you don't want to spend all day long in line, that's a little bit different. Okay. But when you're procrastinating about maybe asking for a different opportunity, maybe reaching out to a different type of client, then that procrastination is starting to mean something else. When you've got a task list and you look at that task list and it's been there for a week or 10, and you haven't done the things that are on that task list, it's worth examination. So the frustration, the procrastination, and that feeling of being stuck. You know, this might be a business person who had been in business for a while. I had a client, and I can say this because she shared her testimony with me. She gave me permission to share her testimony. She had been working in network marketing for 5 years. And she had this goal and she kept hitting a wall and kept hitting a wall, and she just felt stuck. So we worked together, and within 6 months, she was able to hit that goal. She leveled up in her company and it brought her salary up to 6 figures. So now she's on to her next level. But every level that you get to, it's a level you've never been to before. So you're going to experience something different. So instead of taking 5 more years, we're not going to do that, right? We're going to be together and we're going to keep working together so that whatever is surfacing for her, that we're able to power through. So I would say that frustration, the procrastination, and that feeling of being stuck are the things that I see mostly that are popping up.
I like that testimony a lot. What is that? I mean, that's one proud moment. Is there another proud moment, or what would you say is your proudest moment so far in working with clients?
Oh my gosh, that is a big moment. But I have to tell you, this is another client that I had, and this was early in my practice, and she lost a baby. Mm-hmm. She had an infant, and the infant passed away, and she was just beside herself. And she had heard that I was a EFT practitioner, and anyway, the long and the short of it is she reached out to me and she said, Lakeisha, I want to move on with my next level. I want to continue my family, but I do not want to carry all this pain, this emotional pain into that pregnancy. And I don't want to have my other children living in the shadow. I've read all this stuff. And so she said, I want to do something holistic to help me out of the trauma space. And we worked together. And we really just healed the grief, because that was excruciatingly painful for her. We healed the grief. We worked together for about a year. She was able to get complete with her daughter that had passed. She had a celebration for her. It was just this beautiful experience. Then she left the job that she was in, went into the career that she'd been wanting to work in. Then she had a baby. This all happened within a year. She had a baby and now her family is growing. She just had a second baby. And so just this beautiful experience of helping somebody heal something so painful, close that grief cycle, honor it and close it, and then letting the life, right, that's in you unflourish into something else. Definitely, definitely one of my proudest moments.
Wow.
Yeah.
Grief is toughest thing.
It is. It is. Because it's kind of not quite the same as, you know, just dealing with your internal stuff. You know, there's a finality to it. And, you know, what's beautiful about this woman and how she's working with her family, her daughter that came after, you know, she talks about her sister. She's got a picture of her in the house. And so she's not pained by seeing the clothes and all of that stuff. And so, you know, one of the things that we talked about is, you know, this beautiful child that came into the world she's the one who helped you be a mother. Right. Hmm. So she was totally able to reframe this in a different way and then bring the memory of that child into her current life with her other children. She talks about her being their big sister, right? So it's just a beautiful continuation of celebrating life rather than being stuck in that cycle of grief.
Very beautiful. When you take on a client, what does that process look like? Is there a free first session?
Yes, there is. There is a free first session. It's called a clarity session. So I want to talk and find out exactly what's going on with you, make sure we're a good fit, and then find out if there's an opportunity for us to work together and what that might look like. So, I love to do that with, you know, women. And some people are not quite at the entrepreneurial stage. They've been thinking about it for a while and they're ready to take the jump. But maybe they've got some fear. So definitely we have that conversation. Yeah. And you can go to chatwithleticia.com in order to get on my calendar.
And you do those sessions via Zoom?
Yes, I do those sessions via Zoom. So what'll happen is you get on the calendar, then you'll get an email with a private Zoom link, and then we'll hop on and spend about 45 minutes or so and just, you know, finding out if we're fit.
That's good. I like that. It does take a mind shift to create the change we want to see in our lives. I'm seeing some of that manifest and still working through a few more things for sure. So I'm wondering, though, as a coach, what is it like to see your clients make that switch? Is it immediately noticeable or is it more like a process?
Yeah. So I really appreciate trauma resilience, but trauma resilience is about bouncing back. I want people to spring forward into something different. So what I'm looking for is transformation. So right away, you'll start to notice shifts, right? But it's like some of these are patterns of behavior that have been going on for a while, and it takes time to shift into something different. So depending on what's going on, I work with my clients for 6 to 12 months at a time. You know, as we're doing that work, they will see progress. But the cataclysmic change, you know, that takes time because I'm looking for transformation when I'm working for somebody.
So it's more of a process. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not, you know, it's not 50 years. Right. So it's not as gradual because the work we're doing is processing the stuff that's slowing you down, standing in your way and holding you back. It's not just educating you on it. It's processing it and changing it. And that is the big difference.
Changing it. So can you give maybe an example when you say changing it? What does that look like practically?
Yeah. And so the client that I work with that was having the block around moving to the next level in her business, she wanted it. But she was just really locked up in this idea of, should she be able to do this? Nobody in her family had done it. And so she was like setting a mold for herself that was really taking her out of the comfort zone that she was feeling and being connected to her family because of their financial history. So the history wasn't going to change, but how she saw herself and her ability to do it and what it meant for her changed. And once that got clear in her mind, it became easy to do the steps because she was willing to do the work. She was doing a lot of the work, but it wasn't yielding her the results that she really wanted because she had this belief system that was saying I was basically in this fear of success at the level that she wanted it. So that we changed that idea, what that meant to her, the belief she had around the possibility and the blessing of the people that she could benefit moving forward with her goals as she lived out, the level of success that she wanted. So now she is like on fire, like because she's doing it because she sees it. But, you know, more comes up because every time you get ready to do something new that you've never done before, things rise. You know, and then when we think about whatever we do now that we think, oh, of course I can do that, whatever, speaking, right? I'm a speaker as well. So where I might have felt like a tremendous amount of concern or can I do this? Now when I speak, I don't have those feelings. But if I were to get on a crowd in front of a crowd of 10 million people, I probably would have a little more fear and have to do some work with myself, right? Because it changes at a different level. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So whatever is now that feels comfortable was at one point new, and things rise, fear rises. So as you move to different levels, don't be afraid to get support and mentorship moving to those next levels to help deal with that and to move you faster.
Yeah, I think that's a really key piece of advice right there. I'm really proud of your client too. It sounds like she was almost in a way concerned that she might not be accepted by her family at moving past the income level that they have, but I'm sure they're proud of her.
Yeah, and well, you know, and that's a subconscious belief that she wasn't immediately aware of, because we all think, yeah, we want success. We all think we want this and we think we want that. But when we get ready to go for it, things show up, right? And some of this stuff shows up consciously. And like we were talking about earlier, some of it's happening at the subconscious level. And we don't understand why we're stopping ourselves from maybe doing everything. Or maybe we're doing a lot of things, but we're not doing the big thing that's going to really move the needle. We'll play over here, but we're not playing big. We're playing small. And so something is there. So you can trick yourself into believing I'm doing it, but maybe there's an opportunity there that you're not even allowing yourself to see because you don't want to deal with the fear of that rejection or what that would mean. But again, some of this is happening at the subconscious level.
Yes, definitely. Well, this has been really great. I'm curious, as we, you know, talk about this new year and we're all thinking about our goals, as a mindset and empowerment coach, what would be your top piece of advice going into 2022 that you would give someone that wants to get unstuck and shift their mindset toward more impact, income, and influence?
I would say we have lived through just certainly the craziest time in my life, right? And I think all of us can say that just because this stuff has touched us globally. I would say just really think about what it is you want. I mean, what you really want, not what you think you can have, what you want, and write it down in as much detail as you want, and then ask yourself about the possibility of that happening for you. If there is a possibility, then start going for it. If you feel somehow that it is impossible, get support in moving forward. Because what we learned in this experience is that time is finite. You know, we're obviously, we've never been promised tomorrow, but I think we see that in a different way. And most of us don't want to stay stuck. Like, we were physically stuck for over a year in many places where we couldn't go anywhere. So this is just a great time to think about, this has all gone on. That's what it is. But write down the biggest vision for yourself that you can imagine, and start moving forward, moving towards it.
I love that. I love it. Big dreams and big goals. And
why not?
Yeah. And some self-love and self-compassion, because we're all doing the best that we can. We've done the best that we can to this point, and it doesn't serve us to beat ourselves up. So we can actually learn from when we fell down just as much as when we won. And all of that is valuable and can serve us. So I'm so excited to have you on today. As we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can get more information and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You can go to chatwithleticia.com, and that will get you on my calendar. But I also created a free report that's called 5 Keys to Crushing It in Your Business. You know, I got a thing for the keys. That's a free gift. You could go to 5keycrush.com and download that, just to get you started on that vision that I just was talking about. It'll give you some tips on moving forward with that. But yeah, I would love to connect with your audience.
That would be great. And laughers will also be sure to put her information, website, Amazon link, where you can buy her book, and the show notes as well, along with anything else she shared in this podcast that can be valuable to you. We hope you picked up a few wisdom nuggets today that can make your new year more fruitful than the last. If you're a woman entrepreneur or know one, contact Leticia today to increase your impact, income, and influence, or tell them about this episode. Thank you so much, Leticia, for coming on the show. This has been ultra wonderful.
Yes, Dawn, it's always so great to be with you. We're doing this on Zoom, but I'm hoping we can actually see each other in person soon. Thank you so much for having me.
Me too. I echo that. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.